Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll be taking your calls live on the broadcast today. Again, as just mentioned, the number to dial to get your question answered live on air, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, as always, it's equip.org. And via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Again, you can talk directly to our resource consultants live, 888-7000 and the letter CRI, one of the great flagship magazines in the Christian world is the Christian Research Journal. And this journal, among other things, is devoted to teaching Christians discernment skills that are desperately in need in an age of information overload. Jesus Christ promises us that we can have life that is life to the full. But for a vast majority of Christians, the promise remains largely unrealized, and so these Christians begin looking for the fulfillment of that promise in the latest and the greatest devotional book, a book that you might very well find in the New York Times bestseller list. And that's all too often where the problem begins. Lack of discernment can lead to resources that are decidedly unhealthy or junk food for the soul. And therefore, once again, discernment skills are crucial. We have to develop them, particularly today, and that is why we feature articles on discernment in the Christian Research Journal. By the way, you can subscribe to the journal in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. One of the articles that we are featuring this month, an article that appears in the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal, it's titled Developing Discernment in Devotional Reading. It's a critical examination of two books that are mega bestsellers, one that is a stranger to virtually no one in the Christian world. It's entitled Jesus Calling by Sarah Young, the other titled 1,000 Gifts. The author of the article joins me on the broadcast now. His name is Adam Pelser. He is a professor of philosophy. He's a Christian Research Journal contributor. He lives in Colorado with his wife, Katie, and his three children. Good to have you on the broadcast, Adam.
Well, it's great to be on the broadcast with you, Hank. Thanks for having me on.
This is an incredibly insightful argument. You're giving us in the article tips by which we can develop discernment skills in devotional reading. Can you give us a brief summary of that?
Sure, yeah. This is not just a typical book review article, although I do talk about the two books you mentioned. I'm also trying to give positive tips to the reader who would pick up a popular devotional guide at their Christian bookstore or buy it off Amazon. I want to help them to learn how to read it with some discernment. And so I've given four tips. The first, very briefly, is just to keep watch for unbiblical worldviews. I know that sounds simple. Maybe it sounds like it doesn't even need to be said, but all too often the things that we think don't need to be said do need to be said, and more often than they are, because even well-intentioned Christian authors sometimes inadvertently promote unbiblical worldviews in their efforts to encourage spiritual growth. I don't think this is always purposeful on their part, but we need to be on the watch for that. Secondly, we need to keep watch for the suggestion that ecstatic mystical experience is the measure of spiritual growth. I know it's very popular in devotional guides to have this idea that if you're not having some ecstatic experience of God's presence with you or Jesus' presence, that something's wrong with your spiritual life, that something's missing. And while it's not bad to desire that kind of an experience of God's presence, it certainly is not what we want to hold out as the measure of spiritual growth. We don't want to encourage people to think that somehow their practices are not going in the right direction if they are missing out on that kind of an experience. Third, we want to keep watch for practices that distort spiritual vision. I think oftentimes we focus on beliefs. What do you believe about God? What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about the Christian life? But it's also important to keep in mind how the practices that we're engaging in are developing habits in us, and they're also changing the way that we see God, the way that we see Jesus Christ, and the way that we see the Christian life, the vision that we have for it. So I think that's important to keep in mind. And then lastly, the fourth tip that I offer in the article is to keep watch for distortions of the gospel. And again, this may sound like it's too simple, it doesn't need to be said, but I think it does need to be said, because there are subtle ways in which sometimes devotional reading, other Christian literature, can distort the gospel without even us realizing that's what we're feeding on spiritually.
So, Adam, you're not just giving us these tips, but you're giving us application for the tips. And in doing that, you note two books in particular. Both are mega bestsellers. One, Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. The other is also very, very popular. It's titled A Thousand Gifts. But you take issue with Sarah Young, the author of Jesus Calling, because she's writing her daily meditations in the voice of Jesus. And you actually make the point in the article that to encourage the practice of reading her words, that is, the words of Sarah Young, as though they were the words of Jesus, is not only presumptuous, but you say it's spiritually dangerous.
That's right, Hank. Yeah, I think it is spiritually dangerous. And some readers of the book might take issue with that. They might say, well, she's not really saying anything in Jesus' voice that contradicts the teaching of Scripture. And I discuss that in my article. I talk about whether any of the things that she says actually are inconsistent with Scripture or inconsistent with the gospel. But more importantly here, I'm focusing on this practice of hearing these words as though they're coming from Jesus himself. And actually, to make matters a little bit worse, she does pepper in actual sayings of Jesus into these short little sort of aphoristic sayings that she gives us in these daily meditations. Some of the words are hers, and some of the words are Jesus's. And I think that makes it even more problematic, because it makes it hard for the reader who is hearing these words as though they're coming to them straight from Jesus's mouth. It's hard for that reader to discern what Jesus has actually said to them and what is the words of Sarah Young. And I think here we can take some instruction from the Apostle Paul, who even in his own writing, which, by the way, was divinely inspired, right? And I don't think Sarah Young would want to claim that her words are divinely inspired like the Apostle Paul's were. But even the Apostle Paul, who is penning the words of Scripture, was careful to distinguish his own teachings from those of Jesus. So if you read 1 Corinthians 7, verses 10 through 12, where he's discussing the topic of divorce, he's very clear to say to his readers, the Corinthians, that Jesus gave us some teachings on divorce, and he says, these are the Lord's teachings, not mine. But then he goes on to say something else about divorce, and he says, now this is I, not the Lord, speaking. And I think we can take some instruction from that. I think it'd be good to follow that practice. And unfortunately, I don't think that Sarah Young has done that carefully enough in her writing.
In fact, you write, And I'm quoting you here, despite the use of such biblical language, the voice of Jesus in the book is less that of the biblical Jesus and more that of a 21st century Christian counselor, complete with references to performance anxiety, encouragement to take mini breaks from the world, and modern jargon like user-friendly and paradigm shift. So there is a real confusion in the mind of the reader because they're thinking these are the words of Jesus Christ, but these words of Jesus Christ are certainly taken with a lot of liberty.
That's true, yeah. And like I said, it's important that even if they're holding in their mind all the while that, well, these aren't really Jesus' words. These are Sarah Young's words, and she's trying to speak on behalf of Jesus. She's trying to write down the words that she hears Jesus saying to her. Even if you try to keep that in your mind as you read, nevertheless, you're engaging in this practice of hearing these words as though they're Jesus's. And that practice is shaping your vision of Jesus. It's shaping who you think Jesus is. And so now Jesus for you is becoming more this 21st century Christian counselor character that I talk about in the article, and less the voice of the biblical Jesus. And as I say in the article, if the reader of these devotional books really wants to hear the words of Jesus to them, all they really need to do is pick up the Gospels.
And I think that's a really salient point, Adam, because in some ways we are more addicted to popular devotional books than we are addicted to reading the Bible and learning to mine it for all it's worth.
That's right. Yeah, I think so many times we think, "Oh, I'm finding myself static in my spiritual life. I need to grow." And we think, so where can I look? Well, I should look to the most popular recent book that's been written. I should look to the book that sold the most millions of copies. Well, guess what? There is a book that sold even more millions of copies, and that's the Bible, right? That's the one that we should be looking to. That's the one that we should be turning to. And it's sad that in an age where Christians are increasingly biblically illiterate, they turn to a book like Jesus Calling for their spiritual growth and their spiritual nourishment rather than to the text and to the words of Scripture.
A lot of people would take real issue with you in that this book has been not only popularly consumed by Christians, but Christians at the very top echelons of society are reading this book and saying that this book has revolutionized their spiritual life.
That's true. In fact, I've heard that myself from quite a few people after having written this article. And I want to be sensitive to that. You know, I think it's important here to put my criticism of the book into some context here. I'm not suggesting that this book does nothing but spiritual harm, or that it can't do some good, or that maybe some people haven't actually experienced some legitimate growth in their spiritual life by engaging in this daily practice of reading these meditations, meditating on these words as they're coming to them through Sarah Young's writings. I think God can use flawed and imperfect teachings and flawed and imperfect practices to draw people to Him. And frankly, I think we should all be very grateful for that, because rarely do any of us engage in anything that isn't in some way flawed, in some way an imperfect attempt to reach God and to become more united with Him in relationship and to be reconciled to Him. And yet, I don't think that means that we should be uncritical, that we shouldn't engage in some proper discernment when choosing what kinds of practices to engage in, what kinds of spiritual practices, what kinds of spiritual teachings to listen to, and what kinds of reading to engage in.
Again, the article, Developing Discernment in Devotional Reading, A Critical Examination of Jesus' Calling and 1,000 Gifts, just one of the many articles in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. It is available for your a support of the ministry. You can subscribe to the journal on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI, as always, Adam, great to have you on the broadcast. And thanks for a quality article.
Well, you're welcome. And thank you so much for having me on. And thank you for the good work that the journal is doing.
Adam Pelser, again, he is a professor of philosophy and is a Christian Research Journal contributor, lives in Colorado with Katie and three children. Those three children, Luke, Naomi, and Caleb. We will be back in just a few moments with answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, the number to dial to get your question answered live today, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. You can start calling that number right now. We'll be taking your calls in just a few moments. Again, if you have not subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, please consider doing that today on the web, equip.org. You can also find the newsletter, which is free of charge. You can subscribe to that on the web at equip.org as well. Don't forget our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Be right back.
At its best, Christian growth literature guides believers to practices that foster abundant, fruitful life in Christ. At its worst, it distorts the gospel and encourages practices that actually hinder growth. Adam C. Pelser provides principles for discerning good spiritual growth literature from bad, and applies the principles to evaluate two wildly popular books in this genre: Developing Discernment in Devotional Reading, A Critical Examination of Jesus' Calling and 1,000 Gifts, in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break. Cold case detective J. Warner Wallace would never allow a divine intruder to enter his life. Yet over time, something changed, and he now sees himself as a guest in the Creator's universe. Detective Wallace is not a theist because his parents believed or because he needed to fulfill a void in his life. Rather, he says, "I believe God exists because the evidence leaves me no reasonable alternative." God's Crime Scene, A Cold Case Detective Examines the Evidence for a Divinely Created Universe, presents the cosmological, biological, mental, and moral cases for God. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Over the past year, American news has been dominated by one story after another of a black man being fatally injured in a confrontation with police. Allegations of racism have followed each case, accompanied by discussions, debates, demonstrations, and disturbances with an intensity unseen since the 1960s. What kind of healing can Christian faith bring to this national divide? Other topics include assessing the church's change of heart about homosexuality. Is it immoral to believe in God? Two views on human origins, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Did you know less than 1% of the leaders of house churches in China have any seminary training? And only 2% would even qualify for seminary given education levels and income. To help remedy this situation, CRI has set in motion a 10-year Going Global initiative to provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish. Your prayers and support are vital to fulfilling CRI's Going Global initiative. Toward that end, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God is doing throughout the world and will help direct our prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thanks for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. When you subscribe to the journal, you'll receive a magazine that's not only scholarly in its substance, but beautiful in its presentation, easily accessible and relevant, with stunning graphics and rich content written by respected theologians and communicators. The Christian Research Journal is a must-have resource that no Christian home should be without. Start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we will now go right to our phone callers. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up, Gary. He's listening in Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. I wanted to comment and question maybe on the person who was just on talking about Sarah Young and I guess it's Ann Voskamp of the Thousand Gifts. I wonder sometimes if we don't strain out gnats and swallow camels and hold so fast to the letter of the law that we miss the spirit of it.
Yeah, well, if you want to comment for me, I think that what Adam is doing here is very even-handed. I mean, particularly when it comes to the second book that you mentioned, he is not being particularly critical of a thousand gifts. But what he's doing is pointing out that what Sarah Young does in her book is to encourage her readers to engage in the daily practice of reading her words as though these are the very words of Jesus Christ spoken directly to the reader. Now, that's a very, very strong claim to make. And then, as Adam correctly pointed out, she reinforces the practice by using first-person pronouns. In other words, I, me, my, to refer to Jesus, and even uses the divine name I am in the phrase, I am the Alpha and Omega. All of that gives great weight and authority to the words that she puts into the mouth of Jesus. The question now becomes, can you discern between wheat and chaff, heat and light? In other words, can you discern between those words which really are a facsimile or a paraphrase of what Jesus actually said, or perhaps maybe jargon that is popular in our pop Christian psychology today? If you don't have those discernment skills, then you're in trouble. And that's the point that Adam Pelzer is making in this article. You need discernment skills, because if you cannot discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light, then you're going to be reading something that may not be something that Jesus would have said or did say. Again, the whole point of the article is learning discernment skills, and I think he's simply using these two popular books as case studies.
Yes, but wouldn't that apply to all books?
Of course, and that's the whole point. The whole point is that people desire to not just know about Jesus Christ, but have an intimate, dynamic relationship with the living Lord of the universe, so that they're not only saved by his death, but saved into his life, so that they can experience life that is life to the full. Now, because of that deep desire and very wonderful desire and right desire, what Adam is saying is don't fall for substitutes. Use discernment skills so that you really can have life that is life to the full. And he points out in the article, I think rightly so, that in order for this to become a living and dynamic reality, all you have to do is look to the words of Jesus Christ already given to us. So you can appropriate those words and know that those words are authoritative and they come from the Savior himself. So he's pointing out that just because something is popular doesn't mean it should be uncritically consumed. Again, use discernment skills. And in the article, as I said, he speaks very highly of the Thousand Gifts book and makes many great commendations for how the author has posited a right doctrine in the book. But again, he's teaching you in these case studies discernment skills.
Right. Well, I totally agree with that. I think, you know, there is no substitute for the Word of God. That's, I understand that. But, you know, pastors and preachers, you know, they use examples. They take the Scripture and, in a lot of cases, give the spirit of it, which I think is good. But on the other hand, I don't think that I agree with you that a person shouldn't accept that as their only information. They should research it. You know, they should study the Bible. I think a Christian should want to study the Bible. I don't understand somebody who wants to live the Christian life or be a Christian not wanting to do that.
But I also think
find out what it's all about.
I also think that it's really important to take seriously the notion of putting words directly into the mouth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think Adam is right on target here. I mean, he's not seeking to be politically correct for sure. And what he's saying is that is presumptuous and it is spiritually dangerous, because unless those words are really the words of Jesus Christ or consistent with the words of Jesus Christ, then what you have is blasphemy. So this kind of thing is an enormously dangerous kind of practice, and I personally would not want to engage in it. I would be terrified.
I see. Okay, well, have you read his commentaries on it?
Whose commentaries?
On the Adam's commentary on the Sarah Young book.
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, that's part of the article.
Okay.
Yeah. And I happen to know Adam quite well. He's my son-in-law and one of the brightest people on the planet, and also one of the kindest people I have ever met, in the sense that he's never using a hammer. He's always trying to teach people so that they might grow in grace and knowledge. So the article is not only brilliantly written from my perspective, but again, it is an enormously important article as well, and that's why we featured it in the Christian Research Journal.
I see. All right. Well, I had one last question. Do you find, when you're reading Sarah Young's book, have you found inconsistencies with the teaching of Christ?
I have. I have read within the book things that are in the first person, as though Jesus is speaking directly to me, that make me cringe, that make me very uncomfortable, yes.
Would you have an example of that? Or
not off the top of my head, because I don't have her book in front of me. But if you keep listening, I'll try during a break to look up a couple of examples in that regard.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate the very courteous and also pressing way in which you conducted the conversation. I think that's a great model as well, because the fact that we say something doesn't make it so, and I think you do right to press and push back. So and you did it in a wonderful, courteous way. So you're a model and example of that.
Well, thank you. God bless you, sir.
You got it, Gary. Thank you so much for your call. Mia next in Overland Park, Kansas. Hi.
Hi. Hank, oh my God, I can't believe I'm talking to you. This is like a miracle. I just wanted to say you're blessed and you're an angel from God in heaven.
Oh, bless you. You're kind.
It's a beautiful thing. Thank you so much. I have so many questions, but I know you don't have the time for me. And my number one, I think I kind of understand a little bit what's going on here. I think I kind of changed my mind about the question because I am reading a book right now that's calling the I Am a Word from Paul Selig. And it does talk a lot about, you know, because I believe in a law of the universe. I believe that God is a universe, and I believe all that. But I also want to make sure that I'm doing this right. But when I read the book, I always have the Bible beside me, even though I did not read the whole Bible. I'm from Brazil, and I don't understand everything sometimes, you know, especially in English when I read it. And I'm trying to understand the Bible and everything, but I believe 100% in Jesus and in God. And there's a lot of things, you know, but I'm reading this book, and this book talks about Jesus, and it tells you this word. It says, word, I am a word to Jesus Christ, and it makes you to do some spiritual things, and I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing, you know. And another question before you drop me is why doesn't Muslims don't believe that Jesus is a son of God? Because I have friends, and I'm trying to talk to them as a Christian, but they say we're going to burn in hell. Why do they talk to us like that? What's going on here?
Yeah, let me take the last part of your question first, Mia. You know, if you're a devotee of Muhammad, the very notion that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is offensive, and the reason is that to their way of thinking, calling God Father and Jesus Christ Son suggests sexual procreation. And of course, the Bible does not use the term begotten with respect to the Father and the Son in the sense of sexual reproduction, but rather in the sense of special relationship. And therefore, when the Apostle John speaks of Jesus as the only begotten of the Father, he is underscoring the unique deity of Jesus Christ. But I think that relates very well to your first point as well, or first question, and that is, it is so critically important that you learn the art and science of biblical interpretation. And you might say, well, you know, I'm from Brazil, English is my second language, Portuguese is my first language, and therefore it's very, very difficult for me. But I don't think it's quite as difficult as people make it out to be. The principles are fairly straightforward. And once you learn the principles, to use them well becomes an art. The more you use them, the better you get at it. So it's critical, Mia, to learn those principles, to have those principles in your mind. And then when you're reading a book like the book that you mentioned, you're going to be able to discern between that which is wheat and that which is chaff. That's what I was talking to Adam with in the beginning of the broadcast, to learn discernment skills. We live in an age of information overload. There are so many books and articles and magazines all being published at such a frenetic rate that we desperately need to know how to discern, as I said in the earlier segment, between wheat and chaff and heat and light. Going to have to leave it at that. If you want to know more about Islam, I've written about that in various places, including the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. There are a couple of entries in that book. You can find that book and other resources on the web at equip.org. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. In the meantime, if you haven't yet subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web. Again, equip.org. Be right back.
Recently, Time magazine accurately noted a number of prominent evangelical churches and leaders who have reversed their positions on homosexuality. Time concluded that change is coming to one of the last redoubts of opposition to gay marriage in America. Is modern evangelicalism on the cusp of embracing a God-ordained civil rights movement or a grotesque error masquerading as reformation? Hath God said?
Assessing the Church's Change of Heart About Homosexuality by Joe Dallas in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank will be back right after this.
Multitudes of Christian brothers and sisters in the Global South urgently need basic materials to ground their faith. That's why CRI has embarked on a 10-year strategy called Going Global. This initiative will provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish, two of the world's largest mega languages. Since prayer is the fuel of global missions, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God in Christ is doing in countries throughout the world to help direct our prayers for the global church. Hank Hanegraaff and CRI will be using this vital resource to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Over the past year, American news has been dominated by one story after another of a black man being fatally injured in a confrontation with police. Allegations of racism have followed each case, accompanied by discussions, debates, demonstrations, and disturbances with an intensity unseen since the 1960s. What kind of healing can Christian faith bring to this national divide? Other topics include assessing the church's change of heart about homosexuality. Is it immoral to believe in God? Two views on human origins, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Because life and truth are under attack by secularists who deem the Bible nothing more than primitive superstitions and fairy tales, Christians are called to give reasons for what and why they believe to highly educated skeptics and atheists. Wisdom, however, warns against engaging in a defense of the one true faith without adequate training and preparation. The book by J. Warner Wallace, God's Crime Scene, A Cold Case Detective Examines the Evidence for a Divinely Created Universe, will equip you to present and defend the arguments and evidence for God's existence. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. Over the past year, American news has been dominated by one story after another of a black man being fatally injured in a confrontation with police. Allegations of racism have followed each case, accompanied by discussions, debates, demonstrations, and disturbances with an intensity unseen since the 1960s. What kind of healing can Christian faith bring to this national divide? Putting Race in Biblical Perspective by Jamar Tisby in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. A quick reminder that all this month we are featuring our Going Global initiative, and this is a very, very important initiative for the Christian Research Institute and those who stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. I could give you 1,000 reasons why it's important, but maybe one will do. If you think about the predatory cults around the world and so many people coming to faith in Christ in the global South, you have a prescription for disaster. I was talking to a missionary that we were training a number of months ago in the Global South, and one of the biggest complaints he had is so many people are coming to faith in Christ, but they're like tumbleweed Christians, and as a result, the cults, well-financed and not bound by any biblical kind of morality or ethic, are preying on these new cult converts, and they're pulling them into cults. So these people come, as it were, from the frying pan into the fire. And what we want to do is provide these missionaries boots on the ground with the resources so that they can prepare the new converts, not only in the area of apologetics and biblical literacy, but also in the area of doctrinal discernment. And all of that is part of our Going Global initiative. When you support the ministry today, I'd be pleased to send you a book that I found very helpful, Pray for the World. It is a book in which you can get an idea of what's going on in the world. And it's not so much like a book that you would read cover to cover, but there are entries on the various countries. It gives you the population. It gives you what the real concerns are in those particular populations and so forth. Again, Pray for the World, available for your gift. For our Going Global initiative, a very significant initiative. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Also, a quick program note, I'm going to stay here today for an extra hour, so those that I don't get to in this hour, I'll get to in the next hour, and you can also call in for the next hour after we sign off today, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Patty. She's in New York listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call. I've only been listening to you for several months on my way home from work, and I absolutely appreciate your ministry, and you really challenge my thinking as far as the Bible and what I believe to be true interpretation, and I so appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Oh, bless you. Thank you, Patty.
My question is, where do the Jewish people believe that they are going once they die? Do they believe in a heaven and a hell? And how is it, what are the qualifications to get into one or the other?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think what's important in answering a question like that is to point out that Judaism is not monolithic. So there are various kinds of Jews. You have conservative Judaism. It's a late 19th century reaction to the liberal tendencies inherent in Reform Judaism. Well, what is Reform Judaism? Another branch. It's a movement that arose in the 18th century, and it seeks ways in which to adapt to the modern world. Well, what the main focus there is a desire to preserve Jewish identity. There's also Orthodox Judaism. It's also known as Torah Judaism. And only through devotion to the complex code of Torah law can you experience nearness to God. Ironically, as an Orthodox Jew, it is even possible not to believe in God. So some Orthodox Jews believe in God, some don't. I was in Iran a few years ago and spent a lot of time with two Orthodox Jews in Iran who wanted the peaceful dismantlement of the State of Israel because they believed Zionism had shanghaied their religion. But watching them on a personal level, struggling with their complex code of Torah law, even when it came to the matter of eating, was torturous, to say the least. So when you talk about Judaism, they're not monolithic. They're multifaceted. Some believe in God. Some believe in an afterlife. Some do not. But if they do believe in an afterlife, what gets you into heaven is what all religions ultimately boil down to. It's man's attempt to do something. The inverse is true in Christianity. It is not us reaching up, as it were, trying to find ways to become acceptable to God, but it is ultimately God reaching down and providing a way for us to have reconciliation. And that reconciliation comes through what Christ did through his passion on the cross. And what's so beautiful about this in the Christian worldview is that Jesus not only gives us a pass into heaven, so to speak, or an insurance policy so that we'll go to a good place, but much more than that, he gives us a way by which we can have life that is life to the full in the present. And that is the glorious truth of Christianity, and therefore those who are genuine Christians ought to reach out to their Jewish friends as opportunities provide themselves so that they can communicate the grace and truth and love that only Jesus Christ brings to the human heart.
Yeah, one of my best friends is actually, you talked about the different, sects or denominations within Judaism. She's a modern Orthodox Jew, so her and her husband, they honor the Sabbath, they keep kosher in the house, they live near a temple so that they can walk and whatnot. But yet, when I try to have a discussion with her about the afterlife, it ends up being a little bit, she becomes defensive. So I look at how am I presenting it, and I know I'm passionate about my belief in Jesus Christ. And so I think my delivery can be a little off-putting. So that's why I'm asking you. I haven't really been able to get a clear answer because I want her to be in heaven with me, with Jesus, but she grew up this way, and this is her way of living. We still connect, but there's still that gap between us that when I'm hurting, though she's willing to be there, she cannot be with me to in a spiritual realm to honor and look, praise God and look to him for healing. In fact, I don't see that. All I see are rituals.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's great about this, Patty, is your desire and your passion to reach her. But you have to realize that only the Holy Spirit changes the heart. So what you want to be as a Christian is equipped, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, but be able to give that reason or that answer with gentleness and with respect. There's no need to be anxious about force-feeding her. Now, certainly, when you are friends with someone, you care about their eternal destiny, and that's a wonderful passion, but you have to realize that only the Holy Spirit changes the heart. So what does that lead us to? We recognize our impotence in changing anybody, and we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, provide opportunities so that I might not only testify with my lips, but with my life and with my love. And through that, you might develop within her this great hunger for what you have. She sees that you have peace in the midst of the storm. She sees that you have a real relationship with the living God that works out in the cauldron of life. And ultimately, that's like salt in the oats. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink unless there's salt in the oats. And now they want to drink more and more because you've seasoned the gospel with the salt of your life. And that's ultimately all that you can do. So you can be ready. The fields are white unto harvest, but as God presents the opportunities, you can take advantage of them, but you can't change anybody's heart. And so I'm saying that from the sense of having a comfort. It isn't your job to change her heart. It is your job to be prepared to change her heart. And again, you do that by studying to show yourself approved, as you most certainly have.
Yes, thank you so much. I really appreciate your taking my call and listening. God bless you.
You got it, and thank you so much for your call. Let's see if we can squeeze another call in the live program. Elijah, listening in Columbia, Missouri, KMCV. Hi, Elijah.
Hi, Hank. Good to hear from you again.
Nice to talk to you.
Yes. Actually, I have a quick question. The other day, I was traveling, and then I was listening to you. So a couple of days ago, you were talking with someone, and you made a comment on miracles.
Yeah.
And I think that the comment, if I'm right, I'm wrong, please correct me. You said that you even investigated, you met with Benny Hinn and then some other people and could not actually verify any of the miracles that he claimed to have performed. And after that, you said...
Well, actually, I did verify that they're all bogus. In other words, he claimed millions of miracles were taking place in his ministry, and I asked him to send me his best three documented yeah. miracles. He sent those to me, and all three of them ended up being bogus.
Yes. So the question I have is regarding the comment you made, and I'm not sure whether I heard your comment for. You said that you believe that miracles are gifts to the Christians. You believe in it, but then that it is the norm. You don't believe that it's the norm.
That's correct.
Am I right with that comment?
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. I mean, if it were the norm, you would see people being raised from the dead. You would see people that had amputated arms and legs, the arms and legs growing back on. You would see hospitals being emptied out, et cetera. So miracles are not normative. The normative principle in this life is we all get sick and eventually we all die. The death rate is one per person. All of us are going to make it.
Okay. So the question quickly is then, how do we reconcile that with when Jesus said that he that believe in me in John 14:12, greater things than I would he do, and then in Mark when he says that go and preach the gospel, and then those that believe the signs will follow, and that. And so how do we reconcile it? Is Jesus just giving that as something that will follow every time, or is it things that once a while? I really don't get that.
Well, yeah, well, Jesus is talking about something incredibly significant. You know, your forefathers, Jesus said, ate manna in the wilderness and they died. But he who eats the body and drinks the blood of the Son of Man will live forever. So we have spiritual nourishment to give to people. Which is the greatest gift of all, and it is the greatest miracle of all, the transformation of the human heart. I wish I could cash this out, but I can't any further because we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'm going to stay right here, as mentioned just a few moments ago, continue taking your calls. So if you are hanging on, do be patient. I will try to get you in just a few moments. And if you'd like to dial in for the next hour and ask a question, 888-ASK. Hank is the number to dial numerically, 888-275-4265. Thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry in the battle for life and truth.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Did you know less than 1% of the leaders of house churches in China have any seminary training? And only 2% would even qualify for seminary given education levels and income. To help remedy this situation, CRI has set in motion a 10-year Going Global initiative to provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish. Your prayers and support are vital to fulfilling CRI's Going Global initiative. Toward that end, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God is doing throughout the world and will help direct our prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thanks for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Cold case detective J. Warner Wallace would never allow a divine intruder to enter his life. Yet over time, something changed, and he now sees himself as a guest in the Creator's universe.
Detective Wallace is not a theist because his parents believed or because he needed to fulfill a void in his life. Rather, he says, "I believe God exists because the evidence leaves me no reasonable alternative." God's Crime Scene, a cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe, presents the cosmological, biological, mental, and moral cases for God. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org.